Hi friends, welcome to Finished Work Eschatology, vlog number 32. We title this simply, This Generation. We've arrived at the point in Matthew 24 that has caused probably as much contention as any passage in this chapter. I want to read three verses to start with today. Matthew 24, verses 32 through 34. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I want to go from there to a parallel passage in the book of Luke, chapter 21. We will see this similar wording and we'll pick up a couple of other things. Luke chapter 21, verses 28 and 29. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. I'm going to read on. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now there's a lot of good stuff there. We've dealt with and will deal again with heaven and earth. But for purposes of our subtitle this week, This Generation, I want to focus on some of the things that have been said about these verses as far as timing cues for these verses, and some things that we need to know using the Greek language. The first thing I want to start with is from that 34th verse in which Jesus says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And then we'll work in the fig tree part as well, because you noticed I emphasized very carefully a couple of things from the parallel passage of Luke 21. Jesus does not say some of these things will be fulfilled. Jesus does not say some will be fulfilled now, some will be fulfilled later. Jesus says all of these things will be fulfilled. And it's Jesus that says this, that all of these things will be fulfilled during that generation. That generation will not pass away. So what generation is he talking about? Before we deal with the Greek for generation, let's deal with the context. Let's remember and never forget, Matthew 24 is the response to the disciples' questions of when these things would happen, what their sign would be. So Jesus has not changed audiences. He has not suddenly decided to stop answering the question of his disciples and start talking to a people somewhere down the road. One of the reasons why, and I'll go into this a little more in a few minutes, but one of the reasons why this passage has been interpreted to be out in our future, perhaps even in our timeline, is because translators for a long time took the phrase, learn a lesson of the parable of the fig tree, and they took that to mean Israel. They didn't read fig tree and naturally think Israel. They only come up with Israel whenever they read verse 34 and become confused by it. In fact, I was reading a particular Catholic commentary that said, this is a very troubling verse, verse 34. It was troubling because if Jesus meant this generation, meaning the generation standing there, then all of the stuff in Matthew 24 either had to have already happened, or the next logical conclusion is Jesus was wrong. That stuff did not happen, and it did because it didn't happen in that generation. Or, and here's where we create a third possible scenario, that stuff didn't happen because Jesus didn't mean that generation. He meant a different generation. So what generation might he have meant? Well, the only way we can create another generation in the middle of the 24th chapter is if we make the fig tree mean not a real fig tree. If we take it not to mean that Jesus was being illustrative to show us that you can look at a tree and tell what the season is because of its leaves. No, maybe he didn't mean that at all. Maybe he meant look at a fig tree, Israel, and whenever its leaves begin to change, then you'll know that these things are about to come to pass. And so what happened is, to try to explain what Jesus meant without taking him at his word, there was a theory created, and we'll go into that as we're closing today, that this tree meant Israel. Well, if Israel is illustrated by a fig tree, I read Luke 21, 28, 29 on in, and emphasized the phrase Luke made that Jesus said, here's a parable, when you see the fig tree and all trees. So if Israel is the fig tree, then what is the point in using all trees in the illustration? I think the purpose for Luke's parallel passage to Matthew 24:34 is to show us that it's just an illustration. It's not meant to represent the nation of Israel or Judaism as a whole or what have you. Let me read to you some extra biblical sources. We're going to use a lot of biblical sources today as well. This is from Thomas Newton's Dissertations on the Prophecies, first printed in 1754. Here's from page 426. He proceeds to declare that the time of his coming was at no very great distance, and to show that he hath been speaking all this while of the destruction of Jerusalem, he affirms with his usual affirmation, verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. It is to me a wonder how any man can refer part of the foregoing discourse to the destruction of Jerusalem, and part to the end of the world, or any other distant event, when it is said so positively here, in the conclusion, all these things shall be fulfilled in this generation. It seems as if our Savior had been aware of some such misapplication of his words by adding yet greater force and emphasis to this affirmation. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I can agree with that 260, nearly 270-year-old commentary by Thomas Newton. Shows us that there has been a lot of scholarly work done on this passage as a fulfilled passage, a lot more than there has been the last less than 200 years, putting this scripture out in our future. The word generation, as used in Matthew 24:34, is from the Greek word genea, G-E-N-E-A, which means by implication an age of a period or of persons. Let me show you some more usages of the same Greek word genea in the New Testament so that you can get an idea of some parallel usage and maybe how it should be interpreted. Here's from Luke chapter 11, verse 50. The blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. He uses the word genea, same word as Matthew 24:34. Here's several other passages I want to read to you from in the New Testament where the same Greek word genea is used. Luke chapter 1, verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, or died, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Maybe the best of them all, if you want to really see genea, generations, is Matthew 1:17. Bear with me. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, if you multiply that, that's 42 generations. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because to try to explain away Matthew 24:34, some have said that the word generations doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. It really means race. And they will say, this race of people shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Which would indicate two things. It would indicate that Jesus meant a certain race of people. And by race, we've got to assume skin tone, not religion. Race and religion are two different things. That if he meant race, then this race of people has got to pass, or will not pass away, until the 24th chapter of Matthew is fulfilled. The second thing we could infer from that is that this race of people will eventually pass away, but they won't pass away until all this stuff is gone, or all this stuff happens. If he meant race, then it would be nice to have that word in the New Testament. But we don't. And the reason I showed you 42 generations from Matthew chapter 1 is to show you that if he meant race, then we have 42 races of people in the genealogy of Jesus. 42 different races. We have, let me read it again. We would have all the races from Abraham to David are 14 races, and from David till the carrying away to Babylon are 14 races, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 races. It doesn't make sense. So we don't just get to make up a definition, because the definition within context does not fit our theology. We must move our theology to fit the context. And so when Jesus says this generation shall not pass away, it is biblically irresponsible. That's a phrase I've made many times in this eschatology vlog. It's biblically irresponsible to create a generation, to create a set of standards by which a different generation is in scope, by saying something like Israel's a fig, so when Israel blooms, then we'll know. And I'll deal with that just a little bit more in a second as we close. But again, these would make no sense if they mean race, as some have claimed they do. Look at Acts chapter 2. I've been studying this in the Deeper Daily podcast, the verse-by-verse journey through the book of Acts. Lots of eschatological stuff in the book of Acts. In fact, and I haven't heard others say this, it's just my own feeling, I think the book of Acts is one of the most overlooked books of eschatology in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And the reason I say that is because the early church was dealing with this coming judgment, and they knew it, and they remembered the words of Jesus. Peter says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. The old King James says this untoward generation. The better word even for perverse is crooked. Be saved from this crooked generation. He uses the Greek word genia. What does he mean? Why does Peter say be saved from this crooked generation? He's not saying be saved from this crooked race. He is saying be saved from the generation that is going to undergo the judgment of Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. He was there when Jesus said this generation shall not pass away till all of these things be fulfilled. I want to read to you another quote. This is from John Gill. Gill was a predecessor of Charles Spurgeon. This is from his Exposition of the New Testament, Volume 2. That was published originally in 1809. This is the exposition of Gill on, specifically on Matthew 24:34. And this is from, again, Volume 2. This would be page 240. I'll go slow. Stay with me. There's some really good meaty stuff here. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, etc. Not the generation of men in general, as if the sense was that mankind should not cease until the accomplishment of these things, nor the generation or people of the Jews, who should continue to be a people until all were fulfilled, nor the generation of Christians, as if the meaning was that there should always be a set of Christians or believers in Christ in the world till all these events came to pass. But it respects that present age or generation of men then living in it. And the sense is that all the men of that age should not die, but some should live till all things were fulfilled. See Matthew 16:28, as many did, and as there is reason to believe they might and must, since all these things had their accomplishment in and about 40 years after this. And certain it is that John, one of the disciples of Christ, outlived the time by many years. And as Dr. Lightfoot observes, many of the Jewish doctors now living, when Christ spoke these words, lived until the city was destroyed, as Rabban Simeon, who perished with it, R. Yochanan ben Zakkai, who outlived it, R. Zadok, R. Ishmael, and others. This is a full and clear proof that not anything that is said before relates to the second coming of Christ, the day of judgment, and the end of the world, but that all belong to the coming of the Son of Man in the destruction of Jerusalem and to the end of the Jewish state. Okay. Again, I use this because that's, excuse me, yet another old commentary and was the standard way of defining these verses for hundreds, one might even say nearly a couple of thousand years. Now, I said we would come back to this a couple of times in this little segment. Some claim the fig tree influences the 34th verse. I would say the 34th verse was the pivotal verse for me in understanding Matthew 24. I couldn't get around this generation shall not pass away, and I preached for years that that meant the fig tree is going to bud, that's Israel, and that is generation won't pass. Well, if that's correct, we have a problem. The problem is that a generation is widely accepted as 40 years. And that's standard pretty much through the Word. It's definitely standard through most of history. If the fig tree is Israel, if Matthew 24:34 is a reference back to Matthew 24:32 and 33, that Israel will change, undergo a change, then on the calendar, most dispensationalists or futurists put that at 1948. In fact, Hal Lindsey, which was one of America's most famous end-time prophetic writers, began writing this back in the 70s and 80s, that the return of Israel to a state status, not a worldwide renowned status of being a nation in 1948, sparked the change of the fig tree, so to speak, and that within a generation all these things would be fulfilled. When I was a kid, I remember in September of 1988, to coincide with Rosh Hashanah on the Jewish calendar, the rapture of the church was supposed to occur, or some form of a second coming was supposed to occur. It was subsequently added or supported by a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Would Be in 1988. Why? Well, because if Israel became a nation in 1948, and that's the budding of the fig tree, that generation shouldn't pass away until those things are fulfilled, which means you got 40 years for that to happen. It didn't happen. And here we are 28 years later. And now we've resorted to blood moons and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff. When are we going to wear out? When are we going to wear out on taking text out of context to try to make it say something it doesn't? When are we going to accept that Jesus has abolished the old law, that justice has been served for what happened at Calvary, and that it is time to be kingdom spreaders instead of escape artists? Instead of looking to get out of here, it is time to figure out how to get through. Instead of waiting on a trump to blast to take us away, it is time to be the trumpet blast that marks a change on planet Earth. When will we do this? While waiting around to do something else, while trying to figure out a way to make the text say what we need it to say. When will we accept it for what it really says? This is the great challenge. It is not hard. Let's do it. Let's begin today. We're not that generation Jesus spoke about, but we are a generation. What is this generation going to do? We'll see you next week.